I'm going to have you go through full name and spelling and title.
Sure. Ray, R-A-Y, Reser, R-E-S-E-R. I'm the director of the Museum of Natural History here at UWSP. I'm also an archaeologist. I've got a PhD in paleoanthropology and archaeology. And most of my research is centered right here in Wisconsin.
First of all, you've got a rather special display just opening up today. Tell us about that.
So what we're unveiling today is a Menominee place names map. And as far as we know, there's never been another attempt in the entire Midwest to map areas, indigenous place names, indigenous names for rivers, landforms, lakes. And so what we've done is we've taken absolute state-of-the-art satellite imagery, electronic mapping, GIS mapping, and we've combined that with traditional knowledge and oral history from the Menominee tribe. There's two tribes who have a pretty good claim on antiquity in Wisconsin. That would be the Ho-Chunk or Winnebago and the Menominee. The Menominee actually have oral histories that talk about the last glacial advance, talk about whales in Lake Michigan, talk about elk, caribou, lots of other animals that no longer exist in Wisconsin. All of those are indicators of those people being on the landscape a really long time. What our intent with this map was to produce a map that's recognizable as the state of Wisconsin, but all of the labels, including the name of the state and the name of the Great Lakes, are names that Menominee people used at about the time of European contact or before. So many of these are extremely old names for these places. And when you see them on the map, and especially if you hear them spoken as they are on the website, you recognize them instantly. So many of the names in Wisconsin, certainly in central Wisconsin, are from Menominee.
So I remember from my early days in school, Oyeskansin, or very close to that, was the original name for the state. Was that from the Menominee?
That's actually that's a slight mispronunciation of the French name for the state.
Okay.
But Wiscosek is actually the Menominee term for this area. Keep in mind, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, there weren't any state borders. So the Menominee termed sort of the area between the Mississippi and Lake Michigan and Lake Superior and somewhere down around the bottom of Lake Michigan near Chicago. They termed that entire area Wiscosek, which really means an area that contains everything you need to live well. So it's a great area. It's scenic, lots of water, lots of food, perfect place to live.
The display is going to be here at the Learning Resources Center quite a while or a short time?
Yeah, the actual map we produced has been framed and will hang, we hope, in perpetuity next to the Menominee clan's display on the front of the library, which fronts the LRC or library lobby.
This project must have taken quite a while as far as interviewing the Menominee for their oral history, as far as getting through the GIF mapping. How long did this take?
It did. It's the culmination of well over 30 years of research. So Mike Hoffman, who really provided the genesis for the project, has been working on recording place names and ensuring that those place names were accurate for at least 30 years, perhaps quite a bit longer. Many of the people who were originally interviewed for this project are no longer alive. And these are Menominee elders who were very fluent speakers, very knowledgeable about place names all across the state. We took that whole body of knowledge that Mike had collected over about 30 years, and for the last 5 years or so, Mike and I have been talking about this project. Last year, we came up with a perfect group of people to move ahead. So we have a non-traditional student, Joe Martell, who was really good at the GIS and mapping end. I also have GIS and cartographic experience. And so we combined somebody who was, you know, on the cutting edge of all the computer technology that was needed with Mike's traditional knowledge from the Menominee tribe and my expertise as an archaeologist and a cartographer to kind of help back that up.
As you look back on this project, and as you just mentioned, many of the elders have passed on. Is this the kind of project where, if not now, could it be done in the future? Because a lot of these oral histories are starting to fall with the new generations. They're not remembering them all.
That's exactly right. This was really, we're at the tail end of a window here. And it really was a case of if we didn't do this now, we would not be able to do it. Certainly would not be able to do it as effectively and accurately as we've done it. So we're lucky that we were able to take on the project about a year ago and really run with it, try and get it to completion. Many of the people who helped us are extremely old. A lot of the sources that Mike used and we used were recorded at the turn of the century or in the early teens and 20s. Those written sources will certainly be around. But without the tribal oral histories and the elders to collaborate those names and even more interestingly provide these incredible stories about what the names mean or why a place was named this, it really gives life to those place names. So this really was, we had one shot at getting this done right now before some of the knowledge is lost, and we're pleased that we got as far as we did.
Now, we should point out to people that are not regulars here at the university campus, that's not the only display out there. There's some other things to go along with that.
There are. We have really a one-off display for all of North America, which is the Menominee Clan Story Display. This is a set of hand-carved figures representing the 32 Menominee clan figures in traditional Menominee religion or cosmology. These were carved by a very knowledgeable Menominee elder and also a superb craftsman and artist, James Frechette. James worked on that project probably for about 10 or 15 years. Unfortunately, we only have 27 of the figures. James Frechette passed away before he finished the project. And in honor and out of respect for his knowledge and artistic abilities, we'll never actually finish that display. But still, it's a 3D encapsulation of an entire worldview of the Menominee Nation. We also have a website that goes along with it, the Menominee Clan's website. It's a resource that's used widely across the state for schools. It's used by the Menominee Nation for teaching Menominee language. There's a lot of information on there. Written and spoken both in Menominee and in English, so it's not like you have to be a native speaker of Menominee to use the website. The bulk of it is in English and completely understandable and accessible.
And the language is getting harder to say, too, as the new generations come along.
Certainly. I mean, there are extensive language camps for Menominee like there are for many other nations across the state and the country. And this is a bit of a guess on my part, but I would say right now there are probably 6 or less fluent speakers of Menominee in the state of Wisconsin. There are many people who can say hello and say a few words, but real authorities on the language, there just aren't many of those elders around, and shortly there will be none. And then we'll have to rely on recordings and books. Right now we still have the opportunity to actually go talk to a couple of people whose first spoken language was Menominee. These people had to learn English. So they spoke Menominee at home. This is what they were raised with. And once you lose that resource, something is truly lost. I mean, you still have the recordings, you still have all the written sources, but when you can go right to the horse's mouth, it's really helpful.
Any chance you had the opportunity to videotape some of the elders doing these research projects?
For this project, we didn't. There are some old videotapes where we have elders speaking and identifying names and places. For this project, it was such a huge, daunting project just to get all this information on a map, on a satellite-generated map, that's what we're really focused on.
Anything you'd like to add today?
I would just encourage people to stop by UWSP in the Museum of Natural History. The Menominee Clan Story Display really is an incredible display. I mean, whether you're just into the artistic end of it, looking at the figures are all hand-carved out of Menominee white pine from on the reservation. Each one of the figures is wearing clothes and doing tasks and using implements that were specific to that clan. So you'll see animals that are tapping maple trees and hauling sap or making birch bark baskets, building wigwams, carving dugout canoes, making stone weapons, making copper weapons, making bows, making arrows. I mean, each one of the figures is so detailed that it really merits coming in and spending a little time looking at the exhibit.